Our gospel reading for today is a small segment from what's called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. His teachings begin with the Beatitude blessings and continue through some simple yet challenging teachings like, if someone asks you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And love your enemies and pray for them. A large crowd of men, women, and children are gathered on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee to hear Jesus teach. By this time in his ministry, his reputation is pretty well known, at least in this region. He's a healer, a miracle worker, a teacher unlike any the people have ever heard. He possesses a wisdom and a humility that make him remarkably charismatic, and so the people turn out in droves to hear him preach. Now, typically when preachers talk about this passage, we tell you the message is to trust God and not to worry. Don't worry that your 401k is losing value as the Dow enters bear market territory. Don't worry that the price of gas is hovering around $5 a gallon. Don't worry about what that bag of groceries is going to cost at the store this afternoon. Because God knows that you need a roof over your head and clothes to wear and food to eat. And luxury cars and the latest fashions are not the things that matter to God anyway. Or at least typically, that's what you might hear. I invite us today to consider this teaching from another angle. Imagine yourself sitting on that hillside in Galilee, maybe around this time of the year. The sun's high in the sky. There's a breeze blowing across the hillside, bringing a refreshing coolness. And as you gaze around the crowd, you see your friends and your neighbors. You see that clan of fishermen you've bought from in the marketplace. That tax collector who gave you such a hard time last year. Those leaders from the synagogue. And then Jesus tells you to notice the flowers in the field, how they grow. And the first time, maybe the first time in a long time, you turn your attention to them. As you watch the children playing tag in the tall grass, you remember when you were little. You remember how sweet a field of timothy smells, how bitter wild chicory tastes. You remember a time before the responsibilities of adulthood taught you that wild grass, when gathered and dried, makes excellent kindling for the oven in your front yard. You contemplate, too, all that you've learned about the wild plants and flowers around you. Lilies have healing properties. They can be made into a salve to treat burns or scrapes, brewed into teas to treat stomach upsets or encourage labor contractions. Wood anemone, a populous flower growing in that region, can also treat stomach upsets as well as gout, whooping cough, and asthma. And chamomile calms the nerves and encourages sleep. You remember, too, the sound of bees buzzing around your head when you laid in the tall grass. The bees love the wildflowers, too, collecting nectar and pollen as their source of food and energy. And in exchange, they generate sweet honey, which also has medicinal uses, taken internally for coughs and sore throats, used topically to treat cuts and burns. Of course, buzzing from flower to flower, the bees also pollinate the plants, enabling more plants to grow, more flowers to bloom, more fruits and vegetables to swell and to ripen. To notice the lilies is to take note of God's grand design. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, wrote our psalmist for today. Everything has a plan and a purpose. Ed Young, a staff writer for The Atlantic, wrote a guest column in the New York Times this past week entitled, How Animals See Themselves. The article's both a critique of wildlife documentaries that attribute human characteristics to animals, and a reflection on 20th century discoveries about the way creatures perceive the world. Young says, by thinking about our surroundings through other realities, we gain fresh appreciation not just for our fellow creatures, but also the world we share with them. Through the nose of an albatross, a flat ocean becomes a rolling odorscape, full of scented mountains and valleys that hint at the presence of food, to the whiskers of a seal, seemingly featureless water, roils with turbulent currents left behind by swimming fish, invisible tracks that the seal can follow. To a bee, a plain yellow sunflower has an ultraviolet bullseye at its center and a distinctive electric field around its petals. To the sensitive eyes of an elephant hawk moth, the night is not black, but full of colors. The more science learns about the life all around us, the more we can see the author of this masterpiece, the God of glory, the God Almighty, whose intellect envisioned every aspect of our global ecosystem. In reflecting on Jung's essay, this seems like a good time for me to own the mistakes I made in last Sunday's message. Every creature, every bit of God's creation has its own purpose and special place in Earth's biodome. Last week, when I retold Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan through a fictional experience involving the animals in Serengeti National Park, I suggested that the hyenas stood in for the thieves and robbers of Jesus' story. By doing so, I denigrated creatures of God's hand, the hyenas, equating them with human villains when, in fact, hyenas just do what they're created to do, which is to hunt as well as to scavenge for their meals. And in my story, my version of the story, when the park ranger rescued the giraffe from the hyenas were deprived of a meal. And I also misrepresented the work of a park ranger by suggesting that he interfered with the natural order of the animal kingdom. So I apologize for those mistakes. I apologize to you and to God. Our fragile ecosystem would be poorer if hunters and scavengers like the hyenas became threatened or extinct. British writer and environmental activist George Monbiot has produced a short video about changes in an ecosystem a bit closer to us than the Serengeti, the Yellowstone National Park. Monbiot notes that wolves had been absent from Yellowstone Park for about 70 years when they were reintroduced. Over those seven decades, the deer in the park had no natural predators, so the deer population had grown to the point that they overgrazed the land. Even with human efforts to reduce the population, the deer remained plentiful and the land grew barren. The introduction of wolves began to reduce the deer population, but also it altered the behavior of the deer. And they started to avoid the places where they might get trapped, the valleys and the gorges. And very quickly, the foliage in those areas started to grow back, the bushes and trees growing and multiplying exponentially over just a few years. As forests of aspen, willow, and cottonwood thrived, songbirds and migratory birds did as well. With more trees came more beavers, and they built their lodges and their dams, and that provided habitat for muskrats and otters and ducks and fish and reptiles and amphibians. The wolves also reduced the coyote population, and the repercussions of that population shift allowed rabbits and mice to multiply, and the additional carrion provided food for other creatures, including the bald eagles. Even the bear population increased with the reintroduction of wolves. And finally, Monbiot notes, the wolves changed the course of the rivers. As vegetation regrew in the park, there was less erosion. And the regenerations stabilized the riverbanks, so they collapsed less. They became more fixed, and channels of water narrowed, creating more pools and riffles. Now, I do not imagine that the folks gathered on the Galilean hillside to hear Jesus would have made all of those connections. But by drawing their attention to the wildflowers, by drawing our attention to the wildflowers and the delicate beauty God has given them, Jesus is reminding us all of the big picture God sees, that all created things are part of that big picture. There is a holy order to the world that lies beyond just us. Notice the lilies of the field, and the poppies, and the dandelions. Notice the snails, and the newts, and the caterpillars, the butterflies, and the moths, the mice and the songbirds, the wolves and the coyotes and the giraffes and the hyenas. Notice the harmony and the way every bit of it praises the Creator. Amen.